Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on, girl?
Nothing. How are you?
I'm feeling fine. I guess it's getting a little bit better the situation where it goes through without all the technical glitches I see.
I know. It's nice and smooth.
Oh yeah, so you can actually hear me. There's no static.
Right.
There's nobody in the background, all that good stuff.
Right.
How you doing this morning? Everything good?
I literally just woke up when I texted you.
You literally just okay. What time you went to bed last night?
Maybe like 11, but I couldn't sleep, so I was up till like 1 o'clock, 1:30. But I had I told you I got bit by some fire ants.
Oh my God!
So, huh?
How'd your ankle look?
Swollen and it's itching like crazy. So it hurts. It's swollen, it's bad. So that was Thursday, and it's so weird because it stings, and then the stinging kind of subsides a little bit, but by the next day, by Friday night, my foot hurt, my whole ankle was swollen, it was itching intensely, like the worst type of itching ever. And you get all these little bumps on your ankle, but they're like they're pus filled bumps. It's just aggravating. So anyway, I had took a I put some hydrocortisone on there, but then I took a Benadryl just because I was going to bed anyway, and I'm like, maybe that'll help a little bit, which it knocked me all the way out. Like, I don't normally sleep till 10 o'clock by myself or whatever. Yeah, so
That Benadryl, that is like that's the guarantee to put you flat on your back. You're not moving. I feel sorry if somebody trying to get some. They're like, hey man, this is down because I'm dead asleep over here.
Yes, I was tired. So how was what's new with you? How was your weekend?
Oh God, Jesus, work, 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 and more. In between the work, going to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like last night, I came in, had something to eat. Next thing you know, it was like 7 o'clock. Was watching me.
I figured that because I was like, when I woke up this morning, I thought I was gonna wake up at 9, but I didn't see a text from you, and I was like, oh yeah, he must be tired too.
Yeah, it's I'm not 26 anymore. I can't be, you know them. No, I'm saying, dude, I mean, today is my first off day in like the last what month? You know, so I mean, I'm not saying I'm over the hill, but I ain't no spring chicken no more.
You
You know,
stupid.
so, I'm saying, man, the knees be hurting now. Can't do what I used to do.
Retarded. I can't.
Ahead of time, I said, hey, if you're trying to get some gymnastic boy, you are be greatly you're gonna be greatly disappointed.
Yeah, the body just be changing. All of us.
I mean, you know, just like, and the worst thing is like when you can remember what you used to be able to do
Huh.
and you can't do it and you can't do it no more, that's so disappointing.
But I think that it's just a matter of staying limber and working out, stretching and stuff. And I feel like a lot of people don't. But what I did notice moving to Georgia, it's like everybody's always exercising. Every time I drive somewhere, people are always jogging. Most primarily in Atlanta. I don't really see that a lot in out in the country, but like in Atlanta, everybody's concerned about their health. They're always jogging with their shirt off. Men.
Hey, you got a little cute. You got a little cute while you're jogging now.
Right? That's what my mom told me when I was working out with my trainer. I sent her some video and she's like, "You need to look nice." And I'm like, "For what? I'm going here to work out. I'm sweating intensely."
There is a lot of good looking workout clothes out there. You can look cute. I mean, I know women that put on makeup to go work out.
They do, but who am I looking cute for? Number one. Number two.
Hey, girl, you can look fly. There's a little makeup on. Get a little sweat. You
Nah.
know,
And then
look at
I work out in a small
that.
studio.
Face all beat up. You know what I'm saying?
No. I work out in a small studio and there's usually just men there. So I don't want to be wearing like sports bras and tight pants all the time. Like it's not that serious for me. I'm always sweating. Like he makes sure we get our cardio in and then a lot of resistance training, etc. So it's a lot, but
that's not what I do in my workout. I do like a lot of I do at least an hour of cardio. I don't like the treadmill, so I sit in like this little rowing machine.
Mm-hmm.
But I set the resistance so it goes like the heels, it goes up and it comes down, it goes up, it comes down. Ah, man, I get off that thing, I'd be like, woo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, rowing is a lot.
And that's what I hate. I mean, I do notice that too a lot. There's all these people always out in the city working out. But unfortunately, if you notice, it's mostly white people. I mean, I very rarely see, you know, black joggers out there or anything like that. It's like, you be seeing a little white woman, they had a little, they little two-seat stroller with their kid.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, Becky. You're like, all right.
Even, like, old people, too. I noticed that a lot. Like, older people who are just jogging and killing it. It's so crazy. I was, I think I follow Steve Harvey on Instagram, and it was his wife's birthday. So I went on to her page. And I mean, this woman is over 50, maybe the 53, 54, you know, but she looks amazing. And yes, she obviously has money to help her. But my point is, you still have to do the work. Like, you still have to keep yourself that way. You still have to do some form of exercise. You know, like, you can only do but so much plastic surgery. And she doesn't look like she has plastic surgery. I mean, maybe liposuction or something, maybe. But, like, she just looks youthful, you know? And she's biracial, but she's just a beautiful woman. And especially to see someone look like that for that age, it just tells other people who are way younger, you know, like, you need to take care of yourself, take care of your body, take care of your skin. All of those things are important.
Well, you also look at the industry that she's in. You can't walk around looking. You can't. Okay, so you take the average person. You know what I'm saying? So they're out in the world. Some days they care what they look like. Some days they don't care. When you're in that celebrity, quasi-celebrity atmosphere, when there's a camera could pop up at any time, you just can't walk out the house looking. You know what I'm saying? Look any old kind of way. Like, you gotta look almost. Well, you probably got to look flawless every day you walk out the house.
But, know? Like, so, you look at a lot of other celebrities who are not, who are fat. Other black celebrities who are just regular size. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, she's a skinny woman, not like skinny like those girls in Beverly Hills, but, you know, like, skinny, healthy, you know? And you're right as far as keeping yourself because of, you know, the industry you're in. But she just looks healthy. And obviously, maybe us normal people can't achieve that because we don't have the money that she has to be like 100% perfect all the time, like you said. But to, like, to your point, just to jog all the not all the time, but several times a week, like you said, with all the time you usually see white people outside getting their exercise. It just so happens that at my trainer, at his studio, most of us are primarily black. And I have seen lots of black women there trying to exercise, you know, and get in shape, which is great. So I just think, like you said, yeah, you have to be perfect all the time in that industry. But just looking at her in general and taking away the whole perfect, when you just see her on Instagram just lounging and stuff, just the fact that she upkeeps her body, and we should want to do that too, regardless of what industry we're in.
Okay, I'm looking at her right now.
Yeah, I mean, she's already a beautiful woman even before she met Steve Harvey. She was a beautiful woman then, you know what I'm saying? Like, she was never someone who let herself go either. If I could find some throwback pictures, I'll send it to you. But, you know, so I feel like, yeah, money definitely can elevate you. But I've seen some other celebrity wives that just be looking basic.
Right. I mean, they probably like, well, shoot, hey, I got them. You trying to get them. I got them already.
I mean, got them now?
I mean, I've seen some wives, like, what was it? The guy that plays Wolverine, his wife?
And she's, what, 10 years older than him?
Ooh. Yeah, she's
but he's Australian, isn't he? Yeah. Where's he? Is he Australian? Where's he from?
He's
Yeah, so I
Australian.
mean, I feel like people have different tastes too. And then, you know, they do. Different cultures have different tastes. And then also, I mean, I'm not a big person for looks either. I think that if you have like a nice heart or sense of humor or whatever, you could win me over. I'm like so gullible. I've been like, oh yeah,
Oh.
but he's so nice.
Oh, you are you are you one of
Yeah, I
those,
can
huh?
be like
You one
that.
of those, like, you know what? You're missing two front teeth, but man, you'll do anything for me. You know what? We can
I
make this happen
mean, I
right here,
hope
you
not, but
know? It's like, you can have a good heart missing two front teeth, you
right.
know what I'm
But you
saying?
know, like
You love the
looks
foot.
fade anyway, you know? Looks
Was
fade.
that? Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, I think people get they get too attracted to the outside appearance, and they forget all about, you know what I'm saying? What do you think? Okay, yeah, like you as they would say, you're hot. But then what happened? But you're an asshole. What happened one day when you're not hot, but you're still an asshole? So older
Yeah,
looking
you're
asshole.
stupid, but you're completely right.
So. Did you see the obviously, no, you don't watch politics. I'm asking this. So, did you see the vice
I
presidential
do
debate?
watch politics. It's just I choose not to because this is too stressful. It gives you too much anxiety. So I don't even know how you watched it.
Well, I sat on my couch and I turned the channel to on the HD channel, and I sat there and watched Kamala, I claim myself as black when it suits me, and then Mike Pence, Mike, I am the epitome of white privilege, Pence, on TV, and I mean, it was better than the
Yeah, I
presidential
heard.
debate. Nobody was screaming and yelling and doing all that crap. But the funniest thing is why I brought this up. So the thing that's in the Twitter sphere and the blogosphere sphere and out there now. Well, there was a fly that landed on Mike Pence's hair. It was a fly heard around the world, and it just stayed there for like forever. And no one told the vice president, "Hey, yo, bro, you got like a fly sitting on your nicely manicured
I
hair
guess
over
they were
here."
just so busy paying attention to what the people were saying.
Boy.
I'm on the podcast.
So everybody started making. Hey, man.
Name burn. Come on, Manhattan. Out. Go.
Come on, good.
Now she don't want. Hold on, Antoine.
Are you
Guess we
good?
gotta cut that out.
We gotta edit that.
All right, I'm back.
Okay, so everybody's making fun of it. LeBron James, he made a tweet saying that, you know what, flies love on, right? And he had put some the little doo-doo emojis on
I
there.
didn't, so that's why, who was it? President Trump said whatever he said about LeBron. Okay.
Yeah. And then Saturday Night Live did an open with it when they were talking about the vice president debate, and you saw the fly like buzzing around and stuff like that. And it was funny though. I mean, it was like, I was like, okay, I get it. I was sitting there laughing about it, man. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, everybody was just taking it and running with it. So yeah, the debate, it wasn't nothing groundbreaking. It wasn't nothing like earth shattering. It wasn't nothing like, you know more about the candidates than you don't already know. It was just like they're basically just co-signing their running, the
Yeah.
presidents, So she's co-signing Biden, he's co-signing, he's co-signing Trump. So that's but you didn't. I didn't know anything more about Kamala Harris. I mean,
Oh, saying like so
who
after
knows?
listening to her, you didn't learn anything else about her?
No, it wasn't enough news I didn't already know, So if the point of that debate was to like sway voters or give more insight, no, it really didn't. It was like I don't really think my opinion, and we can move on from this. I just want to say this: the debates are, to me, are really nothing more than just like a sideshow, whether it's
Which
the presidential
debates?
vice
These ones or just in general?
general. I mean, it's very rare that any candidate or any nominee will give you what they're really trying to do. They're just trying to, you know, perfect whatever image they have, carry that across, and then trying to denigrate the person that's standing opposite of them, you know. So I mean, like Kamala, I know more about. I mean, the average person might not know. Yes, she was the Attorney General for the state of California, but her laws was like, she was one of the ones that set up most of the laws that locked up people of color for like minor drug offenses, you know? So it was like, so in my mind, I was like, okay, am I gonna follow her when I know, you know, what her track record is? And I lived in Indiana when Mike Pence was the governor of Indiana, and I know what kind of governor he was. So it was like, I mean, so it was like, it like, so between the both, I'm looking like, well, I'm not, I wouldn't, if both y'all presidents or one, let's say a Trump, you know, whatever happened with him, whatever. So with both of them, I said, we're still screwed. So it's like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, are you ever not screwed with anybody? I mean, I liked Obama. I think that, again, you know, it really doesn't matter. It does matter about the president, but again, it kind of doesn't. We should just be voting at our level. And what is it? Utilizing stuff that we utilizing the tools, or how do you phrase it? Taking advantage of stuff that we have control over. You know, you have control over your governor for your, what is it? Your town, your county, however that works. You know, so what is it? City councilman or the police chief? Is it whatever?
You have control over your city councilman. You have control over your mayor. You definitely have control over that, the mayor of your city. You have control over your state representatives, like how John Lewis was. You have control over that.
Your police chief, right? Is it the police chief? What is it? The higher
one? You have control like your sheriff, like because sheriff's
officials. You know, like we have control over all those things. So I feel like there needs to be more of a push in that regard to. Yeah, people should vote, especially now with Trump. Is definitely important. But prior to Trump, we should always be pushing, get out there and vote for those people. Let's, you know, rally behind who we think is best. I also think that politics in the Black community, I think that should be something that we should explore, because no one talks about that, at least in school. Unless your family is very political, and I don't know any Black families personally that are very political, or like when I was growing up, nobody was talking about politics. Now, because I read a lot, my dad reads a lot, like we always talk about a lot of things, including politics. So, you know, I keep track, but I don't think any of my friends really read about that. So I had one friend who was trying to tell me stuff that Trump's done, and it was a little confusing because Trump hasn't done any of those things that my friend said. And I'm like, are you even keeping up? Like, do you even read anything? Do you even watch the news? How could you say something about what he's done and how he's not a bad president when he's done nothing? So clearly this is the misinformation that's spreading. And you would think that, people would read more, but I feel like for some reason in the Black community, you know, as well as white people, but we take things for face value.
You have absolutely too much faith that people will actually sit there and the Black vote. I mean, obviously the Democrats are taking the Black vote because most Black people vote Democrat.
Sidebar, they need forever. To change that too. Black people, just because your mom voted Democrat, and Republicans as well, vote like Charlamagne and everyone else says, vote your interest. It's not about party. You need to vote for who best fits your needs or the needs for everyone or whatever.
Wow. I mean, that's well, you know, after the Civil War ended, there were more Black politicians during the Reconstruction era than at any time during United States history. But obviously, once America recalibrated itself, they were like, "Nah, we got to stop all that." A lot of to be perfect honest, we don't follow politics like that. We basically a lot of the laws are being written for us or not for us. And so then when we get hit with them, you'd be like, well, I didn't know if I bought 2 pounds of cocaine, I would get a life sentence. Well, it's
all your state. Forget about the law. Did you really think that nothing was going to happen to you? I mean, something's going to happen. You may not know the capacity, but I mean, that's a felony, right? We already know that's a felony.
But you might say, yeah, it's a felony, but you're not expecting to get a life sentence. You know what I'm saying? You're not expecting to be 21 years old and then for the rest of your life, you're going to be in jail. You're not expecting anything like that, you know? But those are the laws that are out there. But we don't know. We don't know the penal codes and the different laws that affect us. Did you know that once you go to prison, okay, you know slavery is outlawed in the mm-hmm. United States, right? But did you know that the only time that slavery is okay right. is when you go to prison? So you have technically went from being a free person, you know, whatever free means in America nowadays, to a person that you're technically a slave.
See, I guess the caveat to that is all people are slaves in there. So it's not just a Black people thing. Unfortunately, it does seem that incarceration affects the Black people more than any other race, but everyone's a slave in there.
But I don't know. I guess maybe I look at the disproportionality of the laws. You know, I think we had that conversation at one time about Robert Downey Jr., which I love the actor, but if I would have did even one of the crimes that he would have committed, I'd probably still be in jail now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? you don't get caught with drugs and then you get probation and you get caught with drugs again and still continue probation or breaking into somebody's house and how many strikes are you going to get this person before you lock him up? But it was like, no, he's not a criminal. He just needs help.
Opioid crisis. So, I mean, you know, we know that white people get treated differently. They just need help. So that's why they have opioid clinics, or what is it, methadone clinics. But where was those clinics 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago?
It wasn't thought of as being necessary, you know.
That's to your point about white people can get he needs help, and that's what they say about the current white people. They need help. They don't need to go to jail, to rehab. They can go to the clinic up the block for free.
Mm-hmm. You got to recognize with opioids, since a lot of the stuff is one of the major opioids that was abused back in the day was heroin. I mean, everybody knew about heroin. You know what I'm saying? It would come and it would go. It would be in style. It wouldn't be in style. Be in style. Wouldn't be in style. But these opioids with these Oxycontins and all of these different kind of drugs, I mean, there was no way that you could really have. It was sort of like when crack hit. It was like when it came in, it was like boom, and it was something that like it took a minute for it to be to calibrate it. Like, oh my God, we're getting hit with something we've never seen before. The reason why the opioid crisis is so horrific is because it was being pushed by the big pharmaceutical mm-hmm. companies. Oh, we can make a shit ton of money off of this right here. But they also knew how addictive the opioids were, you know? They knew how addicted they could be, but they were more worried about their bottom lines. You know, Big Pharma was worried about how much money they could make. And so now it's like, but the people that are being, it's one thing if it would have been people of color being addicted. But when you got Jim that owns the local car dealership, and now Jim is out here, you know, hooked on heroin, you know what I'm saying? Because is cheaper than getting Oxycontin. Or you got the housewife in Bridgeport, Connecticut, you know, who's husband a millionaire, but now she's strung out. Now you have issue. Now it's a right. problem. Because now it's, hey, we weren't expecting for these people to get hit like that. And now it's all about damage control. It's like, okay, for example, I'm not trying to be funny right now. If I get locked up for being a heroin addict, okay, that's par for the course. You know, that's okay. He's a black guy in America. Okay, that's something to be expected. If Susie Homemaker gets locked up for being a heroin addict, you know, she got 2.5 kids, college degree, you know, 5.5 bedroom house out in the suburbs. It's a bad right. optic, you know. So now the pharmaceuticals gotta be like, okay, so you're not just it's not just the people that should be addicted, but you get people that have more to lose than anybody that get addicted. So it's an across the board thing. So now they gotta try to figure out like, okay, how are we gonna be able to make this look better? You know what? Susie had horrific back pains, you know, after her third childbirth, and she didn't understand the difficulties of dealing with this drug, and that's why she's addicted. We're not gonna lock up Susie Homemaker. She needs what? She needs help. She needs treatment to get better.
Yeah. I mean, that's America, right?
Yeah. Big business, baby. Big business. That's
America. And,
you know,
I don't know how you change the narrative. Because, I mean, even having a black president who was everything that a person should be, and forget about just being black, he was just a great guy. They were a great family, great people, accomplished people, so on and so forth. If that doesn't change the narrative, then how do you? Aside from people doing what they should be doing and fitting into stereotypes, you know, how do you change the way that people see you? And not saying like, oh, so now I have to act white so they don't see me as the typical black person. But just in general, like, people need to see us for who we are, not for our color, but see us for our accomplishments. We've accomplished what you've did sometimes, or a lot of times, more than what you've did. You know, not all of us are poor. Not all of us are on food stamps, which statistics show, you know, or on government assistance. Not all of us are like that. And not all of us are deadbeat fathers either.
That is nice to know. You know what I'm saying? We're all not deadbeat fathers. Oh my God. But so, I did some research to the article you sent me. And so here's the meat of what we get to, y'all. This is, Shantae sent me some of the most interesting shit sometimes. I just got to sit here and laugh about where you find the article.
I read the news every night. I go on gossip websites. I do a lot of reading every night. You got to keep yourself educated.
So, for those of you didn't know about old Antoine / Tweezy / whatever else you want to call me, I have dated outside my race numerous occasions, and I've never seen an issue with dating outside my race. Now she sent me an article about this young man. I'm gonna pull it up for y'all real quick about this young man over here. It was funny, but it wasn't funny. So this young man named Jonathan Price went on Facebook a little while ago, and his video went viral for professing his addiction to white women.
But also about the cops. And he's never had a bad encounter with cops.
He never had a bad encounter with police.
He was raised by white people, primarily.
About white people, he has much love
for his non-melanated brothers and sisters.
Okay, so I got to put it right here. So let me read this for you. Let me go down to the, what you call it? Okay. Let me go to his little bio real quick. Okay. So he made the post after the George Floyd protest. He expressed love for the white family that helped raise him, who were responsible for his obsession with white women, and said he had never experienced racism for police. So here's what he said in his post. With all the tension and animosity going on with race and the police all the time, I'm on the same fence as Lil Wayne, with him saying a white cop didn't save Lil Wayne's life when he was a teenager. It hasn't been too vocal based off experiences. I was raised by Malones and Woodruffs in my hometown for a large amount of my youth, with my second family then and are still in 2020, if I have to say anything. The amount of food fed to me they spent on me outweighs any BS about race or color right now. I have family that's never done a damn thing for me or supported my business ventures, and they're in my blood. They will forever be 1 million in my book, and they know who they are. They're to blame for my countryside and addiction to white women, not complaining one bit. There were times I should have been detained for speeding, outstanding citations, outdated registration, dozing off of the rail before making my garage downtown, doubt after a long night out. I passed sobriety tests after leaving a bar in Wally, Texas by two white cops and still let me drive to where I was headed. And by the way, they consider Wally, Texas to be very racist. I have never gotten that kind of energy from the popo. Not saying black lives don't matter, but don't forget about your own or your experience through growth, waking up. So, to the listeners out there, as you can see, this is a black man that was raised. It doesn't go into his how he dealt with his black side of the family, but as you can see, he has a tremendous amount of support for the white family that helped raise him. He's never had any bad experience with the police officers. He loves white women. Guess he's a country boy.
Okay.
So you thinking all that, right? That'll be a. So y'all waiting for the other shoe to drop in this whole situation? So let's go ahead and drop the other shoe real quick. So this same black man that has this amazing amount of love for white police and white women was trying to break up a domestic dispute outside of a gas station. Okay, so he saw a woman being accosted. At a quick check gas station. So the woman got to argument inside the convenience store. He tried to step in the middle to end it. And the fight continued outside where the unidentified man assaulted Jonathan. The police were called, and when they pulled up on the scene, Jonathan reportedly put his hands up, but was tasered and then shot to death. According to civil rights lawyer Lee Merritt, after he was tasered, his body convulsed from the electrical current, which they perceived as a threat and shot him to death. Even after he died, his mother came to the scene, and the police wouldn't even let his mother
I wonder touch the which body. Mother. Was this his white mom or the black mom?
I think it was the black mom. I think it would have been the white mom. She would let him touch the, they probably like, oh, this is your child or whatever.
I wonder where his white mom was.
That's a good question. That is a very good question. This is such a hard topic, because I mean I wasn't raised by a white family by like that. He's saying from because I mean I've never had any bad experience with the police like that. I mean, I think the one bad experience I had when I had came back from overseas, and I had like a lot of clothes in my car because I was like moving and stuff like that. Cop pulled me over because I guess my tail light was out, the infamous tail light. First thing I get, obviously, and it's like 11 o'clock at night, and he's like, where are you going? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I say, okay, awesome. My insurance, da-da-da-da. Why do you have so many clothes in the car? Because I'm moving, officer, da-da-da-da. You have any drugs? You have any guns? I said, why would I have drugs and guns in my car? Like, what does that have to do with the situation? You pulled me over for my taillight. I mean,
And if I did have drugs and guns, why would I tell you?
Yeah, why would I tell you?
Yeah,
you
know? I do.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I got a dead body in the trunk.
I was waiting for you to pull me over so I could show you.
Bro, I was really trying to speed so you could pull me over real quick so I can show you this gun I got in the car. You know? I mean, we're like in a dark road. It's me and you. Yeah, I really want you know to see the gun in the car. So then I get the whole, well, do you mind if I search the car and all that stuff? I said, I ain't got nothing. You know, I ain't got nothing to hide. I think he's going to look at his, I think he's going to peek inside. He's throwing my shit out, Shante. Then, you know, two more cop cars pull up.
Wait, you said yes?
Yeah, I said yes. Oh. Like, I had nothing in there. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, and I knew it was going to go anyway, because even if I'd have said no, he would have lingered. He would have lingered just long enough to where he could call for backup. I mean, I know how the game goes. I said, well, maybe this will speed the process up. So after he started throwing the stuff outside on the ground, and I'm like, yo, why are you throwing my stuff on the ground? I said, listen, man, I just came, you know, I've been gone for a year. You know, I'm just moving. Oh, you're in the military? Oh, my God. Well, thank you for your service. Oh, my God. If I would have had a pistol, I probably shot all three of the asses. like, really? So, I get what the young man is saying,
and
that he lost his life, because he probably didn't have any good experiences with his family, and he, you know, his wife family took care of him. But like Malcolm X said, and I'm gonna turn it over to you. Malcolm X, he made a quote. He was like, "Black people, you revere your oppressors so much that you will start to love the people that oppress you."
Yeah,
you know, and unfortunately, as he's on the ground being tasered, he was shaking. They thought he was gonna pull a gun out while he was being tased, and they shot him to death.
Right, and not to laugh. How'd you feel when you read it? Huh?
How'd you feel when you read it?
I just thought the irony in that, and I understand not all white people or anybody, not all people are bad people. So I understand that, but to go as far to just like uplift your white family versus your black family, as well as to say that you're addicted to white women, it just, I felt like you were being very bold. Why, you know, like what made you feel the need to go online and say that and have the balls to do that, be very brash, I guess. So it just, when I read it, it just rubbed me the wrong way. And obviously he doesn't deserve to die. But I guess the bottom line is, it doesn't matter who you are. Again, people just see the color of your skin. They don't know that you're against, I don't want to say against, but they don't know that you might not support Black Lives Matter, or that maybe you're a Republican. Just like, what's his name? Cameron? What is he? The attorney... Not Attorney General. What was he again over there? Over the Breonna case?
The Attorney General for Kentucky.
You know, you're still a black man at the end of the day. For people who don't know who you are, which I'm pretty sure majority of the people don't, just because, you know, you might be on the news, or you was kind of like overseeing the case or investigating the case, so people might know your name a little bit. But to be honest with you, yeah, I see his face on TV or in the news. But if I saw him on the street, I wouldn't be like, oh, that's Attorney General Cameron or whatever, you know? So
Daniel Cameron.
Right. So, you know, people just see the color of your skin. They're not going to look at you for your values, or that's a good black man, let me not bother him. Or he was just trying to break up a fight. So many times that black people are trying to break up fights, and when the police show up, the first thing that they do is look at you. Forget about the two white people that were fighting. You're automatically assumed to be guilty. So anyway, it's just ironic that you post all this, you got all this support, you've never had a bad encounter with cops, this, that, and your first encounter is deadly. Unfortunately for you. I mean, Like you said, I really haven't had a horrible encounter with cops. I've definitely been pulled over a few times where that they had no reason to pull me over. I had a bad encounter because of someone else's stupidity. However, in general, if I was not dealing with that one person, I wouldn't have had the experiences that I've had. Those were not deadly or bad or anything, or extreme, I should say. But the last encounter I had with a cop was maybe 2 years ago. And he was nice, he was friendly, whatever. But I say all that to say that no, I have not had those experiences that other people have had, where that you gotta get out the car or sit on the curb and put handcuffs on, or those types of things, or it turned deadly. But that doesn't negate the fact that there are cops out there who are racist, who don't like black people, and who are quick to kill you and then ask questions. That's fact. So why would you go on there and try to take away from something that's going on? My last thought is Black Lives Matter does not discriminate. It doesn't say, oh, we're not going to protect Antoine because he's Republican. At the end of the day, we're all black people. This affects us. It may not affect you today, but 10 years down the road, it might affect you, or it might affect your kids. So again, it doesn't matter what your education is, or how much money you have, or what political party you associate with, et cetera, that you didn't go on government assistance. People only see the color of your skin, and that's just a fact.
If you look at any kind of the situation with Black Lives Matter or anything that has to do with people of color, you always have to have that one person that's gonna be like, you have to have like the Uncle Ruckus of the group, that are gonna be like, America isn't that bad, what I'm saying? Like, white people aren't that bad, system isn't that bad, blah 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 blah. I mean, you always gotta have that counterbalance, And if he does like white women, God bless him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what you like. You know what I'm saying? I just think a lot of times people are, you are in. It's the timing of what you say. You know what I'm saying? Especially in the landscape of what you said.
Yeah, but
Like.
I always feel like when people say that, you're trying to discredit black women. I just really feel that way.
Really?
It's not because there's never been one person that said, I love dating this race without trying to bash a black woman. I've heard one black person say, I love dating white women, or I love dating Spanish girls because yada yada. Let me rephrase that. I love dating black women or white women or Spanish girls because black women are this, that. It's always that, because black women are this, that. It's never, I like dating white women because they have, I don't know, great personalities, and which makes no sense because plenty of black women have great personalities. Plenty of black women are educated, this, that, so on and so forth. So it always comes across as insult.
It's one of those things where we've been taught so long, not trying to be funny, but white is right. If you look at most of the people that, I'm not trying to be funny, but you look at like a lot of successful black men out there, like it's funny if you see the picture of Daniel Cameron, the one we're talking about, the attorney general for Kentucky, like you see his wife, you look like, wow, like she's super white.
I mean, and it just goes to explain everything. That's how I felt when I saw it, like, oh, okay. And that was before
But
he made his decision. So we already knew where he was going.
when I saw him, when I saw him on when I saw his picture, I said he married to a white woman. And then when I saw her, I said, but in the realm that he's in, it's all political. That's a political move. You have to make the people that are supporting you feel more comfortable, with you. So they see you with a white wife, it like okay, I mean, you're still gonna have a little bit of pushback, but it's gonna be more acceptable for you to get in the door, you know. Mm-hmm. If Barack Obama would have had a white wife, he still would have got elected. But I don't think some of the pushback that he would have had would have been as bad dealing with other parts of the government if she would have been, you know, blonde hair, blue eyed, you know. I mean, unfortunately, it's like that. Wow. Isn't that crazy, though, to think about it? Like you're marrying a person not because you love them, but because of the political, because of the aesthetics of it, of how they look, mm-hmm. you know, of how they make you look better. Mm-hmm. Wow. So, yeah, I wonder how Daniel Cameron's wife feel. You know what I'm saying? Is she like, he mad me because he loves me, or because, you know, because of the color of my skin?
I mean, I don't think she thinks that. And I think he does love her. I don't know. But I don't think she feels that way. I feel like, I'm sure his feelings are genuine. You know, I guess the dating pool depends on the people around you, really. And that's why I think that it's so important to seek out other Black families who are in your same wealth bracket, so to speak. So, and when I say that, meaning like, if you are a wealthy celebrity, so like a lot of these celebrities are basketball players, so you automatically move to a very nice area where there's primarily white people. And you're not moving there because there's white people, but that's just what it is in America. You put your children in private school where there's primarily white people as well. And so what do you expect that they would gravitate towards if this is what they see? So I do think it's important to make a conscious decision to put your children around other successful Black people, and not so they could only date Black people, but to show them that we are amazing too. And like, back to your point about white is always right, that is the society narrative. However, there's just so many great things about the Black culture. There's so many great accomplishments within our Black culture. And it's unfortunate that, again, that's not highlighted. What is highlighted is all of the negativity, which suits the stereotypes that get thrown around all day long. Are you still there, bro? Antoine. Hello. We can't ever record this podcast without no technical difficulties.